Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening on all throughout the day. And tomorrow, too, I'll be stepping in here for Bill tomorrow, today and tomorrow. And then he'll be back ready for Packers at Washington, ready for Badgers at Iowa, ready for the Brewers and the playoff foot. It's great. I mean, Joe, when you called, it's like, yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about.
Well, and tomorrow, too, we're going to have some pretty good guests. We got Brian Anderson tomorrow and Tom Verducci.
Nice.
We'll also be on the show tomorrow. So it should be, buckle up. We got a lot to talk about this week.
It's great. Well, and you know what's great about it is you're approaching the end of September and you're speaking in this positive, glowing light about the Brewers. There's so many good things going on there, closing in on a playoff spot. I mean, that's when it's fun, right? It's not like, oh, okay, well, what's next year look like? And that there's some fun to that, but not nearly as much fun as there is to a playoff push.
That's right.
The Brewers are down to a magic number of 9. I'm sure we'll be talking some Badgers again tomorrow, but let's do that right now with Zach Heilprin, the sports director for 96.7 FM and 1670 AM, The Zone in Madison, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Zach, how's it going?
Doing great, guys.
This is, there's a lot to digest, and we were just, you know, hitting all those high positive notes with the Brewers, but the weekend then was kind of the opposite note. They lost twice, Packers tied, and then, of course, there's what happened at Camp Randall, and it's been hard for me to digest really both of those, but I would have to say, and tell me if you agree with this, that loss to BYU is the hardest of all to digest.
Oh, yeah, by far, I think, because, you know, in the NFL, you get as many opportunities as you do, and you make it to the playoffs, and whatever happens, happens, and in baseball, there's always a game tomorrow. In football, you get 12 opportunities. Wisconsin, especially with where they were ranked, a lot of the expectations coming in, by far, that has to be the toughest one for, I'm sure, fans of all three teams to deal with.
So, and now you have to look at what goes forward, and this is where, and we talked about it earlier in the show, Joe was talking about Badgers players after the game saying our goals are still in front of us, our goals don't change. And I don't disagree with what's being said there when that's the case, but when the fans are drawn in at the start of the year to a thought of a playoff, a thought of playing for a chance at a national championship, and you get this ding in week three to your hopes, there's a deflation that leads me to ask, is it still possible? Is it feasible to think that they could get back into the top four if everything goes right?
Yeah, I think there is. I like all their goals, everything. I completely agree with them after the game. You know, the Big Ten West, obviously, still there. They haven't played the Big Ten game yet. Winning the Big Ten, still there. If they go 11-1 or 12-1, win the Big Ten championship, there's probably a good chance they're going to have to get in because they're going to have to beat Michigan. They're going to have to beat Penn State. And then they're likely going to have to beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And those are, right now, what would look like three pretty good wins. So, yeah. Now, putting that aside, do I think that's realistic? Heck no. There's nothing that we saw in the first two games, and then especially this third game, that would suggest that they're the team that we thought they were going to be coming in. I really thought the first 2 weeks that they weren't overly impressive. The scores, you know, you look at the box score and you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But I didn't think they were overly impressive in either one of those games. And I was kind of waiting for the BYU game to see if they were going to be able to turn it on like we all expected them to, and they didn't. And so I think we may have overrated them coming into the year, and they have to now go prove that they are the team we thought they were, as opposed to, you know, this team that may go 8-4, 7-5, whatever it's going to be, if they're going to play like they did last Saturday.
Somebody called Dennis Green. I caught that they are who we thought they were. Oh, poor Dennis Green.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They are not the team I thought they were. Maybe we'll go the opposite of Dennis Green there. This is not the team I thought they were. I thought they were a much better team, especially offensively. This defensively, you thought they may have some struggles to begin the year because you're replacing all those guys, but offensively, you didn't think they would have these struggles, and they are. They're just offensive line. You're benching your starting offensive line for a series last week. You know, Alex Hornibrook has not built off that really, really good Orange Bowl, and it just has not looked the way I thought it would.
Zach Heilprin, sports director, 96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone in Madison, talking Badgers and talking about the beginning now of Big Ten play. And there is no time whatsoever to, you know, sit and mope and deal and all that stuff. It's like you're done and it's like, oh, look, it's Iowa next at Iowa. Right. So what kind of challenge do you think specifically Iowa would present to a Badgers team now coming off a loss?
Oh, it's a significant challenge. I think there's only one elite unit. And we'll see. Again, we're only 3 weeks in, but I think there's one elite unit on this. They'll be on the field on Saturday, and that's going to be Iowa's defense. They're the number two ranked defense in the country. They have one of the top rushing defenses in the country. And so, if you were thinking Wisconsin, you know, it'd be a great bounce back team to play. It's not. They are going to be tested significantly in trying to run the ball. Going to be tested because of the crowd. You look at Kinnick Stadium, its history, especially at night, what they've done to teams at night, especially the last 2 years. They almost beat Penn State last year. They beat Michigan the year before when they were ranked, I think, second in the country. So there's a lot of things going up against them. Offensively for Iowa, I don't think they haven't been great by any stretch. Nate Stanley, Wisconsin native, obviously, was up and down last year. He threw 26 touchdowns, had 5 against Ohio State, and then he was just horrible against Wisconsin the following week. So he's been up and down. I'm not sure that unit is extremely scary, but that defense in that stadium against an offense like Wisconsin's that has not played up to its potential, that has to be that's worrisome, I think, if you're a Wisconsin fan.
And if you are Jonathan Taylor and you're sort of locked in after, especially after that week 2 performance against New Mexico, this has to be where you dig as deep as possible, right? It's coming off a team loss, but you've had some good individual games. This is a chance for a statement all the way around if you're Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, if you think you still have a shot at the Heisman Trophy, which I think, you know, again, it's so early. They are ranked 18th, but they're going to have a shot to get back in the top 10 with some of the games they're going to have an opportunity to play. So, yeah, if he comes out, I think back to 2014. We all think about Melvin Gordon's 408 against Nebraska, which was fantastic, right? He came back the following week at Iowa and put up impressive performance based on who he was playing and who he was going against, and everybody was after him. He went for over 200 in that game. And that, to me, was kind of a signature moment, obviously, along with the 408. Those were the two signature moments of his Heisman campaign, and he came up short to Marcus Mariota. But this is an opportunity for Jonathan Taylor to splash back out of the national scene, and they need it. They need him to have a big game. They need the offensive line to have a big game. They need the open holes, and they need to be able to control the clock and pound it on Iowa's defense. It's not going to be easy, but if they can do it, that will show that maybe last week, the first weeks, has been a little bit of an aberration of what we thought that they were going to be.
Tell me if I'm crazy here when I say that Paul Christ, what he is and who he is actually really good for what's just happened to the Badgers, which is to say, Paul Christ is not going to go in front of a camera or in front of a team or in front of anybody and show all kinds of emotion and go off and demonstrate some instability. Christ is the kind of guy who, when you talk to him on a Monday after a loss, it's not that different than a Monday after a win, and that's a good thing for a young team that caught a loss early in the year.
Yeah, he's an even-keeled guy. I'll say that. You know, it's cliche. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and his teams have kind of mirrored that. I will say that. But I could tell as he left the game, you know, Friday or Saturday after the game, he walked out, and usually he'll you know say hi to somebody that's in the media room or you know shake a hand, and there was nothing. It was bolting for the door, and you could tell he was upset. And I think his team did not play up to his level of expectation. And so, but it is. He is a good guy. I mean, I don't know how much. I thought they came up flat on Saturday against BYU. BYU was up. I thought that they had more energy. I thought they brought it the entire single game, and I think Wisconsin had that. I don't think Wisconsin had that. And usually sometimes you get that out of your head coach. Sometimes you get out of your leaders. I don't think Wisconsin got it from either one. But if you're looking for something to point to say they're not going to get too down about it, yeah, Paul Christ and his ability to stay even keeled is probably good for the situation. But at times, don't you want a coach that's going to get after guys when they're not performing at the level they should be? Like I don't know how many guys, coaches that they have on this staff that will do that. There's a few of them, but I'm not sure Paul Chryst is one of them. And I kind of think that's a little bit what they need. I think they need to get a fire lit, you know, under their behinds to get going, because this team is just too talented to be playing the way they did against BYU.
Interesting, interesting. Now, will you be in Iowa City Saturday?
I am actually heading to Washington early Sunday morning, unfortunately. So I'm going to be covering the Packers this Saturday, or I should say Sunday morning. So one of our other guys, Danny Cunningham, is going to be heading down there. But yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Well, now let's switch the gears there, because I wanted to ask you about these Packers. Anyway, first road test. You've seen Aaron Rodgers do superhuman things, but it's understandable with the brace, with the limited mobility, that kind of thing. I mean, is there any chance at all of a clunker from Rodgers Sunday?
If they had maybe won that game on Sunday, maybe, you know, maybe they're not as focused as maybe they would be if they had won that. But the way that they lost that game, the way that he made those two mistakes in overtime, you know, he had the RPO that he pulled out and he fumbled and they lost 3 yards and then he got sacked on the previous, you know, on the next play, pushing them out of field goal range. I thought that was perhaps my biggest takeaway from his post game presser the other day. Was him blaming himself and him taking some blame. So I guess I would be surprised, even with everything that's going on, for him to not come out and play well next week, brace or no brace, especially against Washington.
Yeah, indeed. Zach, enjoy D.C. Appreciate the insights on the Badgers and the Packers.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Zach Heilprin, sports director, 96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone in Madison, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Raises a really good point. Zach kind of changed my thought process about Paul Chryst and the Badgers after that early season loss. My original thought is you want someone to, you know, just sort of put it between the rails and go with it. And he thought maybe somebody needs to yell a little bit. I get it. That I think you might have changed my mind there.
The problem is, I wish I could be in that locker room. I wish I could be in those team meetings. I would love to know how the message is being communicated to these guys from the coaching staff, not just Paul Chryst, but Joe Rudolph, Jim Leonard. How are these guys delivering the message to the players to say, we need to clean things up, we need to be better, this is a big game against Iowa, and guys, we got to be ready for this one. Because again, when we're talking about goals, guys like Dakota Dixon say the goals are still out there. Well, you got to win against Iowa. If whatever your goals are, this is a must-win game against Iowa, and it's going to be tough. I still believe Badgers will pull this out. It's going to be a close game, though. It's going to be really close. It might come down to a field goal again, and it might be another opportunity for Gaglianone to redeem himself.
There you go. And that would be perfect for the Badgers if he could do that, if they pick up that first conference win. No better way to put a loss like BYU behind you than to go to Iowa City and start your conference play with a big win. That'd be... It really would. It doesn't take the loss off the record, but it does help your momentum.
Well, it changes the outlook too. And I hate to say this Iowa game. I don't know if this Iowa game is coming at the right or wrong time, because you'd like to think it's coming at the wrong time based off that loss. But again, if these guys can use this loss and play with a chip on their shoulder, you might see a completely different Badger team Saturday night. And it might surprise Iowa. But like Zach said, that defense is going to be really tough to get through. Good luck, Alex Hornibrook. For as much as I defend him, the way he played against BYU, if he's going to play like that against Iowa, Iowa's going to win by like 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a guy right there that has to turn it around and do it right now. Saturday conference opener, Badgers at Iowa. Lane Taylor was the guest on the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Lane Taylor was part of a pretty big play, pretty big call by the referees, and Imagine he'll be discussing that and more next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Sometimes a ride around the block just isn't enough. That's why Van Horn, they offer the 90-day test drive program. You heard me right. Available at any of their FCA locations in Plymouth, Manitowoc, or Stoughton. You can take a ride in a brand new Ram 1500, a Jeep Grand Cherokee, a Dodge Charger, a Dodge Grand Caravan, or the Chrysler Pacifica for 90 days. Best part, no obligation. I'm not kidding. If you're not satisfied, you can return it, no additional commitment, or you can buy it and save up to $2,000. I just went out and picked up my brand new 2019 Ram 1500 from the great people at the Truck Center in Plymouth, and I love it. It's loaded. It's fantastic. Visit VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com, and you can shop the inventory that qualifies for the 90-day test drive program. That's exclusively at Van Horn. That's VanHornAuto.com.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. They have Care My Way, and if something's ailing you, you can call right over the phone, 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY. And maybe, just maybe, they can send a prescription to a pharmacy near you. And the best part about it is, if they can't help you, you don't pay. It's pay for play. That's the way they go. That's Marshfield Clinic. Go to marshfieldclinic.org for all the information. The official health care provider of yours truly.
Next day, you watch the film, work out, flush it all out, it's gone. Nothing you can do about it. Win, lose.
Yeah.
You got to roll on to the next one, get another win, because you know the Vikings are going to be doing the same thing.
Packers offensive lineman Lane Taylor. You see where my brain was from that last segment? Still thinking about the Badgers. Lane Taylor talking about the Packers 29-29 tie against the Minnesota Vikings at Lambeau Field Sunday. I think I finally found the term. It's not heartbreaking. It's not the end of the world or anything, it's unsatisfying. And that's the answer. And if you've noticed, Joe, people that have called into your show just today, and I'm sure throughout the week, both experts and callers have used the words "that loss." Have you noticed that? You've had people who have talked on this show today who have used the words "that loss" or "how they lost the game."
Should feel like a loss.
Right?
Because they had it. They had it right there. There was an interception. It was over. Game was over. You were about to go 2-0 against two key teams in the NFC North, and instead it all blew up in your face. But see, you could also look at it as a win because Daniel Carlson blew it time after time after time again.
That's right. That could very easily have been 1-1 with a loss to the Vikings. That would be worse in the standings. I don't know if it would feel worse, but it would be worse. No question about that. Lane Taylor was Bill's guest on the Lodge Kohler kickoff. And number one about this Vikings team that has been an issue the last couple of years that the Packers have had to deal with is that Vikings defense. Lane Taylor sees it up close in the trenches. Here's what he said about it.
Yeah, they'll definitely be a top three, top five for sure defense. So felt like we did some good things. You know, one of the red zone drives is kind of the end of the half, and another one had a questionable holding call on it.
Yeah, a questionable holding call. Wait a minute. Which one's he talking about? I think he's talking about the questionable holding call that was on him that negated one of the big plays of the day. Lane?
Yeah, I thought I was doing the right thing, but the ref thought different. But I felt like it was clean and at the time, and, you know, sometimes it feels a little cleaner than it actually is.
Yeah. Okay, but I wonder if looking at that in retrospect, if looking back at that later on the film, it was like, I don't know about that. Because anybody who's had a chance to see the video says that it's a horrible call. You mentioned it yourself, Joe.
Yeah, I watched the game yesterday, and he fell. The defender fell.
It's not a holding. Not a hold.
It should be a touchdown. Again, that would have changed the game.
Yep. That's in a couple of times here, calls that went against them. And I'm not, by the way, the guy who wants to, every time you lose, say, officiating. But where you are right now is not a blaming of officials. It's a blaming of interpretation of rules. Now, the hold is a little different. But Clay's call is that it's a rules thing. It has to be enforced uniformly. I'm not the guy that's gonna on every play. Oh, it's pass interference, but you never see it the other way. You know, I'm not that guy. But I thought in Lane's case that was pretty obvious, and in Clay's case, clearly the case. Now NFL rule changes, you want to ask a player his thought on the rule changes, because we've talked about it all day. I want to know Lane's take here.
It is. It's becoming a problem. It's kind of just like the catch rule. You have to go through it for a couple seasons when they're trying to work out the kinks and clean it up. But you know, kind of sucks on the other hand, because you know teams are losing or teams are tying now that because penalties aren't being called or being called and should be called.
It's interesting too, because overtime has been shortened, and that came into play in this game. I think extra time would have changed the philosophy, the approach, the strategy for both teams. And in this case, it just came down to a couple of misses by Daniel Carlson, and that resulted in a tie. And I guess we're just going to have to accept that with a shorter OT, there will be more ties. That's just the way it's going to be. Now, how about the Packers' offense? Aaron Rodgers is just not human, and Lane Taylor said last week before the game, simply put, we got to hold on to our blocks a little longer. What do you say after the game?
Yeah, we did against a good defense, did good things. We ran the ball effectively when we ran it, caught the ball. I think we're 70% catching, you know, winning the down, running 4+ yards a carry. So we did some good things against a good defense. So, you know, we really, you know, build it for the next game. Should be something to build off of.
And I think you do have to look at it, and not you can't look past anyone in the NFL, even Cleveland. Pittsburgh learned that. You can't look past anyone, but you can certainly look at the next four games on the Packers' schedule and say they don't appear to be quite the same test as week one and week two. You have a season that started with the Bears at home and the Vikings at home, two of your toughest tests of the year, game one, game two. Now you go Washington, not a pushover, but you would expect, seeing the two teams, how they match up, you would expect a Packers win there. The Bills, which you would expect to win at the Lions, you would expect that, and the Niners on Monday Night Football. To me, 4-0 wouldn't be completely out of the question. I wouldn't be wowed by 4-0. It'd be nice, but I wouldn't be wowed by it. Now, this would be a totally different animal were it not for that week one comeback against the Bears. That has saved what this would be. If they were 0-1-1, you'd got some people just, you know, trying to move to another state if they're 0-1-1. So Lane, like the rest of us, appreciates that comeback win.
Honestly, me myself, I felt like we had a chance the whole time. We've had some big comebacks. We've done some good things before, especially when the odds were stacked against us. And you know, I didn't realize that, you know, going the fourth quarter, we only had 3 points. But it felt like we were closer. And then just kept rolling. And before you know it, we won the game.
And that is, once again, that moment when Aaron Rodgers comes back out, and it doesn't matter how or when or what shape he's in, he's there. And when he throws that football on the side, he's practicing, he's warming up, everything changes, and especially if you're an offensive lineman. No offense to you, DeShone Kizer, but Aaron Rodgers is just in that class where, as he said, you might be behind, but when you see Rodgers and he's going to play in some form, you know you've got a chance. You've got to, of course, have a good game plan to get there as well. Joe Philbin is back, and he did that against the Bears.
It's huge. He's the guys that were here, they loved him, and they were glad that he came back, and now I see why, because he's a good mind. He knows football. He loves it. You can tell he cares and he understands, you know, roles of coaches, roles of players, and what should be expected from everyone.
This was one of the basic tenets of 2011, that offense that was so impressive. And like a lot of assistant coaches, he went and took a head coaching job, and it just doesn't work out the same. And it's not a knock on anybody. It's that there's that special talent that Joe Philbin brings to the table, is as the leader of an offense, at least in Green Bay. It seems to work out just fine for him. What about leaders in the locker room?
We don't have like a huge, you know, vocal rah-rah. We kind of, you know, I think it all kind of starts with Aaron, really. I mean, he's vocal himself, but he really leads by, you know, his greatness, his expectations. I think everyone knows, like, you're required to do your job at a high level. Mm-hmm. Whoever it is, if you're backup coming in, if you're a starter, if you're on the line, you're tight end, running back, everyone knows, like, all right, we gotta play at a high level.
And you read through some stuff, because you'll hear a lot of that in NFL locker rooms and that sort of thing, but I really do think it's ingrained in the culture of the Packers locker room, that next man up mentality. The next man up mentality, lest you forget, helped this team win a Super Bowl when they had 11 guys, essentially, or more than 11, on injured reserve. They had a whole team over there on injured reserve. And this is when Frank Zombo suddenly became something. Those names turn into something. And that only happens if your people who are backing up are ready at a moment's notice to take over. There's a mental preparedness that is different when you're not a starter, but you are trying to have yourself fully ready. That is a difficult job, as it takes a special person to do that. And I don't want that to just be player speak, because I think that is what is preached and that is what is trying to be followed in the Packers locker room. Does it happen 100%? No. But when guys take over, the idea is you got to take over at something close to the same level. That was Lane Taylor on the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Hey, picture this. You and a friend sitting VIP plush leather recliners at the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field watching the pack. That's right. And who's going to put you there? Cousin Subs for the best seats in the house promotion. You and a friend could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Each week, a couple of lucky Packers fans, they're going to be chosen prior to each home game for the VIP experience, so you can enter daily through December 16th by completing the entry form by going to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats, brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I don't even know where to start, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I have so many emotions kind of running through as far as... It's just what a terrible call it was, but at the same time... I don't know what else to do. I mean, I don't know. You let me know. Let me tell me. Did I put pressure on him? Because I thought I hit him within, his waist, the chest. I got my head across, put my hands down, and to call it, at that point in the game, it's just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Last week, okay, shame on me. But this week, I mean, that's unbelievable.
Clay Matthews on that roughing the passer call Sunday in the tie game against the Vikings. Clay Matthews thought he did everything right, and I think a lot of people agree with him. Curious to know what Jeff in Stetsonville has to say here on the Bill Michaels Show about that controversy, the roughing the passer. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great show as always, guys. Yeah, I got a take on this. You know, every business wants to control their own narrative. With the whole players protest, I think the NFL was feeling really out of control. I think this is... with all these terrible calls, you can't find a national pundit or the guy sitting next to you at the bar who thinks that they're making good calls out there. And this one is just the most egregious, probably. I think this is all a distraction to get us not talking about player protests. They can control these referees. They can control these rules. And so they feel in control now where they felt out of control. I'd be interested to hear on how you guys would kick that around.
Jeff, thanks for the call. The only thing is, I just don't know if a league would create something negative to distract from something negative. I mean, I suppose that's not out of the realm, but like if there's issue A going on and then you create issue B, I just don't know. I don't know if a league. I think they'd rather clean that up than create more.
No, I don't buy that at all. Honestly, I think the NFL is at a time where they have to examine their product. They understand that football is changing. CTE is the biggest thing. They know that they have to make this sport safer because everyone complains about it. So that's what they're going to do. They want to make sure that their product is protected. They want to make sure that the quarterbacks, who are by far the biggest pieces to every single team, are also protected, are playing every week. It's driving your ratings. It's driving money. All that comes together. And I think as long as people continue to pay the tickets, pay for the packages, advertising money is coming in, ratings are good, as long as all that stuff stays afloat, the NFL can just do whatever they want. They really can. Obviously, they have to deal with the Players Association, and who knows if we're going to be at a lockout or a strike in a couple of years. I have no idea. But at the end of the day, the NFL is all about reaching their quota and then some. And unless they start to see significant losses in money and ratings over the next couple of years, they're going to continue to do whatever they want. And if they want to protect their quarterbacks because they know that's going to help with money, ratings, and the sort, then that's what they're going to do. I think that's what the biggest picture is. They know that they have to make this sport safer, but they also know that there is money on the line, and they want to make sure that the stars are still playing. I mean, it's like it's one of these crazy things that they have to weigh, but do I agree with stuff like this with Clay Matthews? Absolutely not. And I don't know where the line's going to be drawn here, Kevin.
Right.
I don't know how much crazier it's going to get with some of these rules. But right now it is getting pretty crazy. But if people continue to watch and people continue to pay for the product, regardless of the changes, then the NFL will continue to do what they want. And they'll be able to protect their own product and still be able to achieve the goals that they want.
If you're talking about the difference between these two issues, one of the issues is going to draw along political lines, and I'm not, you know, that it's not my place here to go jumping into that, but that's an issue that's drawn along political lines. Your decision of what you do with the NFL will be based, I think, more on those political beliefs. The decision or the changes that are made to rules are going to be broken down along football fan lines, right? Something that is truer to the on the field action from a day-to-day basis. The people that are complaining about this right now, the fans that don't like this, the fans that don't like these changes in the game are fans of the game who understand how it was played, and they understand safety, but they also understand how they think it still should be played, where the line is drawn. That's the difference. And, you know, other controversies and issues placed to the side, this one is here for as long as we don't have a true interpretation of the rules. And since they're saying that that Clay Matthews play is an example, they're using this as what not to do, that's going to draw some enemies. You're one of them, and I 100% agree. I believe I am too.
You know, the whole helmet rule, that hasn't been a controversy the first couple of weeks. Because remember how we were freaking out about this in the preseason, that, you know, how are these guys supposed to tackle players? So far, that has not been an issue. I have not really heard an outcry about that through the first 2 weeks.
Players have changed technique a bit.
They have to. They don't have a choice.
Right. And they've successfully done it for the most part. They've successfully done it. You'll have penalties of all kinds. I mean, it'll happen. But the number of them is not what you would expect. It has not been a center issue, which is good. Now, if this, you know, what constitutes roughing the passer wouldn't be an issue as well. That'd be fantastic.
But it just, I feel bad for guys in the defensive front who have to get to the quarterback. That is their job. Their job is to cause as much disruption as they can. And I feel bad for guys like Mike Daniels in that situation he had. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how guys like Mike Daniels, Clay Matthews are supposed to try and change the way they play, still be able to make a play on the quarterback without that flag being thrown. I really don't know. Maybe it is just a matter of not trying to focus on the quarterback, but trying to focus on the ball itself, trying to strip the ball. Like we saw the other night with Khalil Mack. You know, he's still putting pressure, but he's able to get a hand on Russell Wilson from behind and strip the ball. I mean, Kenny Clark came close to an interception in that game on Sunday where he jumped vertically up. He almost had that in the fourth quarter. That could have been another big play for the Packers.
That's right.
You know, maybe that's what it has to come down to, that, all right, you may not be able to get to the quarterback all the time, but try to find a way to get that football back and force a turnover.
Yeah, it will change the way defensive lines operate, the way offensive lines operate, the way quarterbacks operate. Jake in Nina talking about that roughing penalty as well. Jake, welcome.
Hey, guys. I guess my thought is, if they're going to be calling this penalty more often, like it appears they're going to be, then maybe they need to change the what the penalty is going to be. Just using the Clay Matthews play, for instance, whether he roughed the pass or not, that wouldn't have changed the play, whether it was an interception or not. So maybe, how about Packers would have kept the ball, and now it's a 15-yard penalty from where the ball was intercepted at. Or, you know, if it was an interception, then a first down plus 15 yards, like lighten what the penalty is going to be instead of making it so harsh, because that's just it doesn't change the outcome of a play, like getting offsides or a pass interference.
maybe they need a lessen penalty.
It's an interesting thought. Maybe you have two different types, right? There's the more egregious roughing the passer that would be, you know, where the team that was intercepted would keep the ball, and ones like Clay that are a lesser, look like a lesser offense and can be reviewed, I imagine. It's an interesting thought. Maybe two different types of roughing the passer.
Correct. You know, if a guy's spearing a quarterback, leaning with his helmet, hitting him helmet to helmet, well, then that's a different play than, or, you know, if you're pile driving a guy into the ground, it's completely different to this where it's not egregious, but, I mean, that's too stiff of a penalty, and it just changes the outcome of the games like we saw Sunday.
You've got two different types of face mask penalties, so why not? Jake, thanks for the call. That is an interesting take on it. Again, you're going to have to do this in the off season, come through and change it and get all that to officials, but that I can at least see that, right? That's something I could at least see. Another possible solution here, TJ in Greenfield. What you got for this roughing penalty, TJ?
A great solution. You go out and you recruit the biggest basketball schools you can get. You get the tallest dudes you can find, and stick their hands straight up in the air and try to knock down every ball. Don't even rush the quarterback anymore. Just stick your hands straight up in the air and jump and try to block everything you can.
It's great.
It's ridiculous. You can't tackle a quarterback anymore.
Give me Manute Bol. 5 Manute Bols up front.
I want every 7-foot guy you can find. Was that straight up in the air? I mean, you're taking away 9 feet every time you jump then, right?
Yeah. That's that. A quarterback, I don't care if a quarterback's 6'5", you ain't seeing over that.
It's pathetic, man. I don't like the way this is going.
Yeah,
I hope they find a solution, and they got to figure this roughing the passer thing out. Otherwise, people say it won't kill the product, you're still going to watch football. I don't know about that. If people aren't getting what they want, they're going to demand changes. If they don't get changes, they're going to stop watching.
Yeah, that's true. And the fact that it's happening in week two means you have 15 more weeks of it. That's the thing. It's not like, well, the season ends in a few weeks and we'll regroup. This is, I'm imagining, an issue that stays for 15 more weeks plus a playoff. So I don't think it's going away. We're going to wrap things up here on the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction, all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders. They have a location in Green Bay, one in Milwaukee, and a 98% success rate, all but guaranteeing success. Also, if you have the low T, looking for better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, they can help you out there. Just go in and get checked if you're over the age of 30, or the all-in-one weight loss program. It really works. Just call them. 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451.
Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee in for today and tomorrow for Bill. We've been getting your reactions to the Clay Matthews call, to other calls during the game, hits and legalities and illegalities of the hits and that sort of thing. Todd in Eagle River has an interesting take here. We're paying attention to Clay's hit, but Todd wants to talk about a different hit. Todd, welcome.
Hi there, Bill. You know, I thought the most egregious hit was the one on Davante Adams in the end zone. I was so mad. His helmet was ripped off. He went down to catch the ball, and they hit him right in the head again. That upset me way more than the Clay Matthews, and we would have won the ball game if we would have had that first down and that penalty before the Clay Matthews hit would even happen. But I'd love to hear your opinion on what you think. That was a illegal hit by the going shot to the head to Davante Adams in the end zone when he dropped the touchdown pass. What's your thoughts?
Todd, thank you for the call. My thoughts are, yeah, that was fierce right there. And we're talking about, you know, fine shades with the Clay Matthews hit or the Lane Taylor hold or that sort of thing. But that hit on Davante is a pretty savage hit right there. And again, you, Todd, hit it right on the head. Game-altering kind of play. And there were three or four of those as you go back. Now, the touchdown to Graham with the Lane Taylor holding and the Jair interception called back because of Clay's hit and Devontae's play there. Lots of chances to win. Lots of chances to win that didn't happen. And again, I'm not a wah-wah officials kind of guy, because the Packers will tell you they had their chances. Mason Crosby will tell you he had his chance. He could have kicked a field goal, one more field goal to win it, and couldn't. But that's, yeah, you've there's got to be some sort of uniformity to it. That it right here is just the center of where the issue is. Uniformity to not just the hits on the quarterback, the hits all over the field. What can happen and what can't? And you can tell that's still being sorted out by the league and by its referees. So I don't think it's a one-week topic, folks. I think it comes up again at other times during the season. Your only hope is that maybe it doesn't go against your team. You know, maybe it goes
Kevin, you know it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
It's going to happen again in situations where a team should have won that game, and instead that call ruined it.
Yeah.
It's going to happen again, and it might happen next week.
Yeah. And you never know.
It could happen in multiple games next week.
That's exactly right. And it could happen to the Packers or in favor of the Packers. Who knows? It's 15 more weeks of the regular season. So, again, this thing is here, and it's here to stay. Christian Yelich hit for the cycle last night. Joe, tonight it is Chase Anderson and Michael Lorenzen. Here's something to watch for tonight. Chase Anderson has had some issues with the long ball this year. He's given up a lot of home runs this year. I don't know if he's still the leader in the National League, but he's close in home runs allowed against a pitcher in Michael Lorenzen who might be the best hitting pitcher in the game, which means if you ever thought you might see a day where a pitcher homers off another pitcher, like if you ever looked for that, this would probably be the day. Chase does give them up. He tends to give them up, and Michael Lorenzen tends to hit them, and he hits them against the Brewers.
I want to see a really good start out of Chase tonight.
This would be a big one. Magic number is at 9 over the Cardinals, over the Dodgers, and over the Rockies. Be paying attention to those. We'll be paying attention to the Cubs, paying attention to the Badgers and Packers this weekend.
Tomorrow, good show. We've got Tom Verducci coming on and Brian Anderson.
That's going to be so much fun. A lot of good baseball talk. Some intelligent baseball minds there. I'm glad you have me in for that. You know I'm in for that sort of thing.
I do good for you. I do good for Bill. That's my job.
I'll take that 8 days a week and twice on Sunday. Is that a phrase? I don't even know. Maybe I'll look that up between now and tomorrow.
Hey, hindsight's 50-50 in John Gruden's mind.
All right, John Gruden. Joe, thanks again. Thanks to all of you for listening. See you tomorrow.
To Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.